This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, folks. This is Brent DeHart for Newsmakers. If you were with us yesterday, you got an earful of a lot of different topics. Hopefully, we'll be able to swing around and dive into some of those more deeply later this week because it's Tuesday, which means sitting in the studios here at KYKN is City of Salem esteemed Mayor Chuck Bennett.
Yay, Chuck!
The city audience is going crazy.
Small crowd.
So, welcome, everybody. Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. Thanks for joining us for your noon hour following Rush Limbaugh. And now we're going to focus on not national issues, but local issues, things
Absolutely.
That affect your livelihood, things that affect your quality of life and your neighborhood here in Marion and Polk counties, and specifically this part of the show about City of Salem. Mayor, welcome.
Thank you. Thank
nice
you
to have you back.
Much,
appreciate your time,
it.
As always.
Absolutely.
You're just coming off another city council meeting last night.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
And we've been talking for the last couple of months. Wasn't too bad.
That's like, not what he said.
That's
off air.
Not quite the way. Meant that sound. That sounded like faint praise.
Yeah.
It really was.
That's not what he said.
Quite
off
a,
air.
Quite a scintillating evening, and I hope people are spending time Monday evenings with their CCTV watching us at City Council.
Everybody wants to see sausage
being made. You don't want to miss that.
Right.
All right, so you did have a City Council meeting. I know we've been talking the last couple of months about the revenue increases initiatives, also known as higher taxes. And so that was on the agenda to decide what to do with those. So how'd that fall out?
Well, we had a public hearing last night. The two issues were combined. One is an operating fee, which would be placed onto your utility bill. Mm-hmm. The other is a tax on wages earned inside the city of Salem. So it would tax anybody who comes into Salem to work and derives a paycheck.
Okay.
Very small tax, but a tax anyway. The debate, well, the public hearing, oh, we had about a dozen or so people come, all opposed, with very varying levels of adamancy in terms of their opposition. I thought folks were well spoken. The basic message we got last night was put this to a vote. You all were more than willing to listen to your story. Some folks think we could change the way we spend money in the city. We're having been doing this for a couple of decades. I can tell you we've pretty much experimented with every possible way of cutting this budget.
Let me ask you a question, Mayor. The people you said were opposed, are they opposed to having the revenue increases for the city, or are they opposed to passing it? I mean, were they all saying we don't want you to have more revenue, or were they just saying we're opposed to you pushing this forward without a vote?
Right. I think it's sort of a mixed bag. It's we don't want you to push this forward without a vote because we'd like to understand better that you need the money and how you would spend it if you got it. And that will occur in an election. So we'd like you to put it out for an election. That's kind of, I think, that's the message I got. That's the message I've had for about a year now, and have been trying to convince council I was successful. I'm really pleased to say the council did agree last night to put the proposed payroll tax out for a vote and dedicate it to public safety.
Nice.
And that'll be coming forward. That's sort of the direction it's headed. The final vote will occur in the next month or so, arriving at that, but that's where this is headed. So the payroll tax will go out for a vote. The other issue, the one that I think probably the council is most interested in not having a vote, is the operating fee. There's a real feeling among some members of the council, I do not share this point of view, but that you're elected to make the tough choices. And my argument was I was elected, but I didn't say I was going to please vote for me because I want to raise your taxes.
Right.
Very few people get elected on that platform. a couple of councilors made it sound like maybe they said that during their campaign. So they really were elected to do that. I think that might be a misread. If you listen carefully what they said was during the election, we need to do something about revenue. That's a little different than I'm going to attach, you know, a $6 mm-hmm. to $8 fee onto your water bill and use it for purposes other than the water system. So that's the kind of thing we discussed. Neither those of us who wanted to have a vote on that issue, and there were four of us, or those who didn't want to vote, and there were four of them, could reach agreement on where to go. So the issue was tabled for now.
Because somebody was missing, obviously.
We had one missing, yeah. and I think everyone is waiting now to see what that person, or if other members of the council change their position and a majority emerges on one side or the other on that issue.
So who was the missing counselor who would be the deciding vote?
Sally Cook right now.
Okay. Hmm. Okay, very interesting.
And so it was an interesting evening. It was good discussion.
Probably really good politics to tie it to public safety.
Yeah,
it especially was, if you're going to create a new tax, tax revenue source that the city of Salem has never ever had. So it's brand new.
Yeah,
and that's always a tough sell. But if you're going to sell it for, hey, we're going to dedicate this to public safety. So we're talking to Chuck Bennett, to Mayor of City of Salem. Mayor, when you say go towards public safety, you mean fire and police, and do you mean personnel?
Well, fire and police are personnel. That's what right. they are. Fire and police are 60% of the city's budget right now, general fund budget. They are the largest expense the city has. But we talked about what public safety means, and it means fire, police, 911,
the call center.
It includes code enforcement, which is the park ranger program. There's a series of programs that really do reflect direct service to the public in terms of just safety. So it does have some broad application, but the vast majority is police and fire.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. And so then, was there a vote on the fee? Is that the one that's tabled?
That's tabled. And that will come up in the future. I'm just thinking, was there a date? No, there wasn't. It's hanging out there waiting for a future discussion.
Mayor's looking at me strange. Strange noises coming through my earphones today. Oh. All right. So that's coming up in the future. So
he's hearing voices.
Is he hearing voices again? Yeah. Okay.
Nothing. Everything's
That's
still
okay.
on the tracks.
That's okay.
But they haven't moved down to the
Calm
other
down.
Tracks yet.
Right.
Right.
It's going to be interesting. I think it'll be interesting. But I'll tell you, I think where this is headed is either that is going to go to a vote or it is going to be imposed. I don't think it'll be abandoned as an issue. And that's the fee on the utility bill.
All right. We're talking to Mayor Chuck Bennett. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, I'm going to ask the mayor about the connection between this potential revenues and our public safety and level of violence in the community. Stick with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and you're listening to 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. Brent DeHart here with Dave Moore. We're talking to Mayor Chuck Bennett, and now we're focusing our attention on public safety and violence in the city. We did have some shootings. We talked about that yesterday here on Newsmakers. And, methamphetamine has always been here. There was a big push maybe 15 years ago or so, and it helped. And it helped raise awareness, raise enforcement, raise the shutting down of a lot of meth houses, but it's still a problem and it's still out there. Gangs goes back to the 90s where they just had the very incipient stages of gangs in our community. And I don't think they have a lot of profile. We don't hear them in the news a lot, but it's out there.
Yeah. And mostly these shootings, right?
We have a lot fewer police officers per 1,000 residents in the city of Salem than the nationwide average. And unfortunately, we have less than we had 10 years ago.
Right.
So it's going in the wrong direction, and we need to do something about safety. What's your take, Mayor?
Yeah, I really agree, Brent. Really, this year we should have, under any kind of normal kind of public policy circumstance, added about 9 police officers, given our population growth over the past number of years. We've got the same number, as you mentioned, about the same number, maybe a little less, of police officers that we had 10 years ago. We are not adding officers, we are adding population. And I think everyone agrees the complexity of just modern society, it kind of boiled over, that's an understatement. Mm-hmm. It boiled over in the past week with a shooting at Inglewood Park where a 16-year-old a young person was killed. We had another, what appears to be unrelated shooting nearby on 22nd Street, where it was a domestic a domestic shooting. And we heard last night from our chief of police, Jerry Moore, who I got to tell you, and I know it's hard from any perspective to rate police chiefs, but from mine, having been here for many, many years, this guy, Jerry Moore, our police chief, is probably the best police chief in the country. He really is remarkable. Well, he gave us a quick rundown. He explained to us he can't go into details on these. Each of these kinds of shooting cases are individual. The shootings where we had fatalities were unrelated, but tragic under any circumstance. This is not what we want to have happening here. We had a gunfire on a drive-by on Northeast Evergreen. No one was hurt. Outside the city on 47th up by Jan Ree, gunfire up there.
Wow.
Over the past few days. It really got heated around here. The question for Jerry was, is this unique? And the answer was no, that it's often seen these kinds of events occur in a kind of cluster. Mm-hmm. But in this case, they're not talking about, they're going to make the cases against the perpetrators in these situations and are being very, very cautious. They ask for community support. If people know anything about this, please contact the police department. But what it told us as we were talking last night about funding is, again, we absolutely need to beef up our police department. We have issues with a whole range of communities here. You mentioned drugs. We have issues involving petty theft has become very common in a number of our neighborhoods.
Property crimes?
Yeah, small and large property crimes. I got a note from a guy yesterday, third time his car has been stolen.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, in his driveway. This is the kind of thing that if you want to make a community's quality of life plummet, don't meet your policing responsibilities. And I think we can look at other communities where whether they have enough police officers or the kind of political will it takes to empower your police officers to do their job, whichever it is, they have a quality of life that's diminished. And we are not going to have that here. We are not going to have that here. And we are going to continue to focus the council's attention on these needs. I think the council gets it. All of them understand. All of them get the same emails I get usually that yeah. tell them these stories that are really ones that indicate we need to be very, very serious and not let issues like this or events like this either discourage us. Not discourage us, it should encourage us to improve and support our police chief, fire chief, the various public safety leaders we have at City Hall to improve the job done.
You can already see the concerns with some voters. You're getting feedback that, oh, it's always blackmail with public safety, or it's about school class size, or it's for the children, and blah, blah, blah. And Polk County, of course, just faced this with their measure that they to increase the number of years for their public safety levy, right? And you don't want to be in a position as a civic leader to say, hey, you know, vote for this or else. But, and I don't want to do the work of the campaign to raise
sure.
the taxes.
Yeah, well, thank you, though.
But here's the thing, is the city has enough, is doing all they can to for as many police officers and public safety as they can with the current budget. I'm all right with the going out and saying, do you want more public safety?
Exactly.
And do you want to buy it?
Yeah. Right.
You know, I actually don't even mind salespeople, you know.
This is not a threat.
Do you want to buy this?
Yeah.
Is it important to you? And I'm very, very big on public safety. I want to live with a place where I feel as though I have public safety. If you want police officers to do more and be more proactive about the homeless or this and that, well, you better consider how much money do they have. How big a job can they do, right?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. It is, it's really easy for us to talk about cuts and things like that. But in fact, you and I have done this together on the city council, Brent, when you were on it. During the recession, we did cut all kinds of services, including not a lot, and you can cut by not improving, by not adding police officers, and that's really what's happened here. And I, you know, give our police department a ton of credit for just how peaceful a community this is, but every once in a while, you'll get a glimmer of what the problem could look like. Mm-hmm. And then I think all you have to do, and I don't mean to be unkind, but I think all you have to do is at times read the Oregonian to get a sense of where you have policing issues that may be not enough officers, not enough political will, not enough, I mean, whatever, a populace that thinks wearing masks in the street and fighting somehow all makes sense. Well, we're lucky here. We don't have all of those problems, but we do have one, and that's not enough police officers. And I think it's the responsibility of folks like me to say so, not to kind of hide the ball here. And we don't have enough firefighters, and we don't have enough people in code enforcement. I've got people contacting me daily that somebody has parked an old wrecked trailer in front of their house and hasn't cleaned it up. What are you going to do about it, Mr. Mayor? Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Mayor Tow Trunk Company has not in business these days. And if I don't have people who can come out and deal with that, it doesn't happen in a timely manner.
That's a perfect example of what code enforcement is.
Yeah.
What you call it, code enforcement. Or correct. My neighbor's grass is 4 feet tall, and I think it's a fire hazard, and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. There is a department for that. Well, and that's under the umbrella you're talking about, for public safety.
Just take your weed eater and go next door and knock it down.
Yeah, that's happening.
Be a friendly neighbor.
Yeah, you just do it on their behalf. So what do you say?
Neighbors like that when you show up with a weed eater.
I know the answer to this question,
yes.
But you know there are people thinking of it, and you know you're going to repeatedly hear it. And like, wouldn't you have enough money for the police officers if the city would just do something about PERS?
No, we wouldn't. In fact, we can't do anything about PERS. The legislature can. The legislature just acted on PERS, did a batch of supposed reforms, and I've had kind of discussions with other local government folks here in the Salem area where they're saying, well, gosh, it's really helping us out. Salem has an older workforce than, say, the school district, and our PERS rate is based on that older workforce, and our rates are not really affected by the changes that were made because most of our people are comparatively are what's called tier one. They're mm-hmm. the old PERS that has been adjudicated. No changes can be made. Nothing can be done.
There's
so
double-edged sword, right? We have all this institutional knowledge, and we have a workforce and a workplace, and where people will stay for longevity. And the flip side is it's going to cost us a fortune in PERS.
And one of the realities with this more experienced workforce, we are able to have fewer or we can cover the problem easier with fewer employees. What's happening is we're hitting a kind of tipping point. We're the second largest city in the state. We're still dealing with the number of employees we had 10 years ago, and you can't keep that up forever. And we're starting to hit, well, not starting, we're really at the point. It's the frayed edges are showing, and that's why, again, we have to come to the voters and talk about revenue measures. And I'll tell you what, I'm perfectly willing to accept if the voters say absolutely not, you do it the way you've been doing it. But please don't send me email about trailers in front of your house or get all upset when there is a level of crime or violence that is not exactly what you expected, because we just don't have the personnel or facilities to deal with the problem. So,
well, right,
it's an interesting problem. It is, and it's one government faces.
Yeah, a lot.
Remind us, if you would, again, in terms of if this goes to a vote, the payroll tax, and then it has to kind of go through the slow machinations of Department of Administrative Services, affectionately known as DAS, or DAS.
Or red tape.
Are we really looking at, you know, fall 2020 to even vote on it?
I think at this point we'll look at the earliest possible vote. I think there's real interest in trying to get the vote to approve it. Next May in the primary, or next year, it'll be 2020 for the vote. A real question exists right now is when would the Department of Revenue, this is the payroll tax, start to collect it? Right now, it looks like it would take till 2024 to begin to collect it. It's a there's some things that have to be done, and we've met with a representative of the governor's office to talk about this. We're working on just kind of, well, is that right? Is that really? Because I think we need to know that in terms of our planning. The one that can happen very quickly is the operating fee. That just shows up as a line item on your utility bill next month, about that quick, and can be collected. So that, if it's approved now, could be collected this fall. If it goes to a vote, it could be collected right after the election.
Is this like the state measures where if they put this in place, can it be referred to the voters by citizens?
Yes. That's one of the things that I'm concerned about is the council, without me, could vote to put this in place. And then the voters they have to collect 10% of the vote for the mayor in the last election, and that's right around 3,500 to 4,000 signatures to put it on the ballot, which is not an impossible challenge. Mm-hmm. It's a lot, but it could be put on the ballot. I think if people go to the trouble to put it on the ballot, they're going to be in a pretty surly mood about the issue. It means there were some people very unhappy with the council decision.
All right. We're going to have to take a break, and we're going to come back. We're talking about pairings at Oregon State Fair. And we're going to let the mayor go and keep our city a safe place, right?
We'll keep going.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you very
appreciate
much.
Appreciate it. Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem. You're listening to Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and we've had about a show and a half of talking about some heavy stuff here in the community, some important stuff. Mayor was just here, we're talking about, and it won't be the last. I have a feeling it's going to be an ongoing discussion with public safety.
It has been.
With crime in Salem and the need for more public safety dollars, and is what the current city council trying to do the right answer?
Right?
Yeah. Is this the right answer? Do they want to do a brand new revenue source that's never before seen? This has been part of the conversation since 2009, when the state was putting together Measure 67 on businesses, and we tried to educate the voters that this is a taxation mechanism that has never been excised in Oregon, in the history of Oregon. So it's brand new, you know, the depths of the worst recession of your lifetime, and this is a good time to start this. this is going to be a tax, and everybody who feels the tax burden and hates them doesn't want a brand new tax, because what we see over the years is this tax, and they get the foot in the door. And
right.
How much is this tax going to increase over the next 10 years, you know, once it's a brand new tax, meaning the payroll tax?
Yeah, once they right? start a tax, it never goes away.
Never
Have you noticed
away.
That?
When's the last time the government said, yeah, we don't need that tax money anymore?
That would be a really good one.
Yeah, especially like the bridges. The Golden Gate Bridge is a classic example. The toll was instituted to pay for the building of the bridge, but the toll never went away.
I thought it did go away, and they brought it back because they renovated it.
I never renovated it, but they've realized that it needed constant maintenance.
Maintenance, yeah. So they brought it back. I think they did end it.
Oh, we'll have to Google that.
I'm going to have to look that up.
All right, let's flip the subject to something fun in the community. We were talking about this with Mary Louise Van Atta at first part of the month. About
yes, we
this.
Did.
Here's an event you don't want to miss, right? The Pairings event at the Oregon State Fair. In the studio with us, joining us, is Bonique Hollandrake. Hi, Bonique.
Hi.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you. So I noticed in this press release that you are the chair. You're like in charge of this thing. There's no pressure, right?
No pressure. But yes, that's true. I am.
It's been going on for 40 years.
Yes. Usually, well, in the past, the Oregon State Fair has been in charge of pairings. Last year, the Oregon State Fair Foundation took over. So this is only my second year of doing it, but it's the 40th year of pairings.
But no pressure.
Wow.
No pressure at all that you don't screw up the 40th anniversary one, right?
Yeah, right.
No, thanks a lot.
All right. So give us the 30-second version of what the heck is pairings?
Pairings is an event for the fair sponsors as well as other people in the state that want to support the Oregon State Fair Foundation, who supports the Oregon State Fair. We have lots of vendors, food and alcohol vendors, that will be giving lots of yummy samples all evening while a really fun band plays outside in a garden.
Okay, so that take place at the fairgrounds?
Yes, at the fairgrounds in the Green Acres Landscape Plaza.
Green Acres Landscape Plaza. There's a bit of a connection flowing through the air here. Don't you have some relationship with them?
I do. I work for Green Acres Landscape.
That is awesome. And I know that they value public volunteerism.
Yes.
And public service and public involvement.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it flies under the radar, and sometimes they get more attention than even they want. I think that great guys there, and I hope you're listening, Rich and Rob. So.
They're supposed to be.
Anyway, and I know they do things down there at Green Acres Landscaping just because it's the right thing to do, and just because, like a lot of us, this is how they want their community to be.
Yes.
So thank you for your service and your time for the foundation. So describe, if you would, the role of the foundation in support of the fair.
Okay, so the Oregon State Fair Foundation works with the Oregon State Fair Council and the Oregon State Fair and Exposition Center to support the Oregon State Fair and Exposition Center.
Okay.
So that's the fairgrounds and all the buildings on it. A lot of times you probably don't realize that there's a lot of historical buildings at the fairgrounds, and those we want to protect those and preserve those. So the Fair Foundation is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we raise money for the Fair and Expo Center.
Okay. So a supporting foundation, you're raising money, and this is a fundraiser.
Yes.
So people get to come, and how much is their ticket?
Tickets are $50. And that money goes directly to the foundation and its efforts to restore historical buildings and, again, support the fair. And
the ticket price goes all to the foundation?
Yes.
And so the food and the drink that everybody gets is paid for by
sponsors and our vendors. Our vendors donate their time and goods to come to this event and make it a really good, successful event. And then we also have sponsors that have contributed to the success of this event.
Very cool. All right, let's say I'm coming, because I was talking to the missus about this just last night. So let's say I'm coming. We pop down $50 ahead, but we're going to eat, right?
Yes.
This is going to be yummy food.
You're going to drink, you're going to eat, you're going to dance, you're going to have fun.
Nice.
So you're going to dance. Five guys named Mo.
Yes.
Right?
They're pretty good.
They have been amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen them since a good friend of ours was a lead guitarist for them. So we used to follow them around. It's like, where are they playing now? We saw them on New Year's Eve. We've seen them in Independence. We've seen them in Portland. We've seen them on the coast. And what a great band. And what a collection of songs. That pretty much just say, what songs ever existed in the last 50 years that make people stand up and jump up and dance, and they play those songs?
Yeah,
right?
They're very popular. We have discussed using a different band before, but none of us want to change it because they're so good.
That is terrific.
When you have a good thing like that, why change it?
Exactly, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's called Pairings. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I was going to say, I'm going to be there on Friday afternoon. Maybe you should come join me, Brent. We're going to do a remote from there, 4 to 6.
Well,
Friday afternoon.
I just might have to do that.
Yeah, come by.
All right, 25 Pairings. So describe the name. Where do we get the name of Pairings? What's that about?
Okay, so Pairings originally started with equal pairings of a food vendor and an alcohol vendor together. And originally it was a wine event. But as you know, the alcohol industry in Oregon has definitely expanded beyond the wine industry. So we've included breweries, cideries, and distilleries as well.
Nice.
This event has a lot of interest from the alcohol vendors, so it's easier for me to get those ones in because they're so excited. So this year what I did is paired two different alcohol vendors with each food or restaurant person.
Oh, we're talking to Bonique Hollandrake. She's the chair of the Oregon State Fair Foundation about an event this week. This Friday,
yes,
right? And
yes.
It's not too late to get tickets.
Nope, you can still buy tickets online. If you're still trying to figure out what you're doing Friday night, you can buy tickets at the door.
Oh, cool. So you're saying you're pairing up a couple of different alcohol vendors with any type of... So yeah, if you like it, this particular, say, small batch whiskey or this particular type of cider would go well with its dessert or that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, so like we have a new restaurant that's at Pairings this year. He's not even open yet. He's opening in the fall. He's a wings and mac and cheese restaurant, mm-hmm. So he's bringing those items. And I paired him with a new brewery who's releasing a new IPA. They're called Parallel 45. And then also a distillery called 503 Distillers. They make canned cocktails. So we paired their cocktails with the mac and cheese.
You know, it's a good idea, Dave, is the canned cocktails. Because in our emergency kit that we always talk about, emergency mm-hmm. preparedness, we should have canned things that last for decades. So if there's a catastrophe and we need a cocktail that's going to last 30 or 40 years, we're going to have this.
Golden.
Is that
right there?
But that vendor was that the 503?
503 Distilling.
503 Distilling. That's part of your survival kit is the canned cocktails.
Absolutely.
Because glass can break. Right, so that's very important.
I think I'm going to add some to my safety kit.
Yeah. Every safety kit needs that.
The Parallel, 45th Parallel.
Parallel 45 Brewing.
Off of Hyacinth, right?
No, they're an independent.
Oh, really?
They've been brewing. I'm not sure their tap room's open yet, but they are at tap rooms all over the area. And it's my dear friend Ryan. They just opened it up, and it's been his lifelong dream to do this. So I'm very excited for him.
Well, it's practically our obligation to support Bonique's lifelong friend, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah. Got a sample.
All right. Yes. The Green Acres Landscape Plaza, Oregon State Fair. Tell us which one that is. Where is that?
Okay.
Navigate us.
So the Oregon State Fair is on 17th Street.
Mm-hmm.
You want to enter from the Green Gate on 17th Street. It's right next to the main buildings where you might go for like home show or expo or thing like that.
Okay. Like near Jackson Long Building.
Yes.
It's on the other side
like
of
Cascade
the Armory.
Hall, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So just come up to the Oregon State Fair. Look for the Green Acres Landscape Plaza. Hopefully people waving you in.
Yes.
Right?
There'll be signs. Parking is free. You just park across the street in the gravel or grove lot. And I do want to remind everybody that this is a 21 plus event.
21 plus. Good to know.
Yeah.
And don't overindulge.
Right.
Okay, what was my question? So it starts at 5, goes to 10.
Yes.
But we can filter in anytime we want? Drop
yes.
in?
We will close the gate at 9 p.m. and last call's at 9:30. But you're welcome to come anytime before then. And buy tickets at the gate or pre-buy your tickets online.
Very nice. Give us, if you would, in just a minute we have left, describe the Oregon State Fair Foundation and maybe in some way or some project that it's helped the Fair and Exposition Center.
Well, the project that we're working on with the fair right now, we're not going to talk about it until Pairings.
Uh-huh.
We're going to reveal it
I
there.
See.
But it is a really big, huge, exciting it's very exciting. You have to come to pairings or check out our webpage after pairings, because it's something that the foundation and the fair have been working on for a long time.
So there's going to be a big reveal.
Yes.
You buried the lead.
Yes.
Right? It's going to be a big reveal. All right. Thank you. This is Bonique Hollandre. She's the chair of the Oregon State Fair Foundation, and she works for Green Acres Landscape.
Yes.
A bunch of great guys down there in case you need some work done before we get into the fall season, so it's not too late to do some summer work. And I want to thank them and you for the time and talents that you donate, because you're not making any money, right?
No.
Volunteering to be the chair of the Oregon State Fair Foundation. And like so many foundations in the community, be the police foundation, the fire foundation, and so forth, Barks Foundation has been huge and been doing this for many, many years. It takes people with passion and people who have the gift of generosity to give to make things, good things happen in our community. All right, pairing. Sounds like fun. If you have a major plans for Friday night, you're not heading out of town, plan on going to the Oregon State Fair. Bonique will be there.
I'll be
right?
there. Right? I'll
yeah,
be there.
You're going to go over and say hi to Bonique. She's always charming to run into Bonique. And try a cider, try a beer, try some wine, try some spirits, and get fed along the way. And the money is going to go to this incredible asset we have in our community. And frankly, we don't even talk about it enough.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about it during Dave and I were out at the Marion County Fair.
But I love the Marion County Fair.
That, us too. But that whole facility and how many things happen there all year round.
Right.
Yeah, we got to do more on the fair. Let's do that.
Okay.
Anyway, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Green Acres Landscape. And it was no coincidence, I'm sure, that Bonique was from Green Acres Landscape. They're part of the big sponsors for the pairings coming up on Friday at the Oregon State Fairgrounds.
Yeah, and she's been serving the foundation for a couple of years.
Yep. That's awesome. A couple of things that we were talking about earlier was the Golden Gate Bridge, whether or not the toll was done or not, and if they reinstated it. So the Golden Gate Bridge opened in 1937. The toll was 50 cents back then. And then by 1971, the construction bonds were all retired and paid off, but they didn't stop taking tolls. And then in 1968, they started collecting the tolls only from southbound traffic, which I thought was kind of odd. Mm-hmm. And it's like $3 to cross the Golden State Bridge now.
Oh, I think it's more than that.
Let's see.
And same through this the Bay Bridge coming across from Berkeley and Oakland.
Oh, it's $5 now.
You're collecting it as you're entering into the city.
Wait. Yeah. Toll by plate. It's $8 to go across there.
Mm-hmm.
$7 for fast track. So if you want to go across the Golden Gate Bridge just for a quick photo op, because it's not that long. There you go.
And if you're commuting.
That's costly.
Add that to the we got something to give away, don't we?
We do have a giveaway. We've talked to these people. We talked about it also at the Polk County Fairgrounds last week. At the Polk County Fairgrounds this weekend is the Tiny Living Festival. It is coming up on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, it looks like. 17, 18, 19. Yep, sure enough. And we have three pairs of tickets to give away for the Tiny Living Festival at the Polk County Fairgrounds. First three callers right now at 503-393-1430. You'll need to pick up these tickets here at the KYKN studios. But the first three callers, 503-393-1430.
Good job. Yeah, that'll be fun. I think we're planning on going out. My wife works with somebody who's rehabbing a bus right now.
Really?
For living in the tiny house built. And they'll have some samples out there of some of the buses that have been converted.
Nice.
Yeah. It's that'll be fun. It's not something you do every day. So
no, it's not.
You go to pairings on
this
Friday night.
This is a weekend pass, by the way.
Oh,
it's good for all 3 days.
You go there Friday night to pairings. You wake up Saturday morning and say, hey, I'm going to go stroll around the Polk County Fairgrounds
right.
And check out the tiny houses. I actually have a property that we could put a tiny house on.
Is it zoned for that, Brent?
Accessory dwelling unit.
It's not zoned for that?
No.
You're just going to do it anyway?
No, you have to ask permission. You got to go through that speed of government process.
Yeah, how slow is that?
Going back to
The speed of government. How fast is that, Brent?
Less than light speed. Well, the concept the mayor was talking about earlier today, how these taxation measures, if they put forth the payroll tax,
right,
that it could take 4 or 5 years for the Department of Revenue to institute it.
What is wrong with this picture? I forgot to ask the mayor, if it takes that long, what do they do to stop the gap of spending that's in that 4 years?
Well, there'll have to be a 4-year delay in the addition to be able to add any public safety aspects.
And then the money is not going to be enough.
Yeah, and that's another thing. And, you know, we were talking about so many things with the mayor, but that's exactly what I was thinking, Dave. And I'm like, okay, if you have to wait 4 or 5 years, you better already have planned for 4 or 5 years of inflation.
Right?
Right. So maybe you need to add 10% of, if this is 0.39, maybe it needs to become 0.43 or something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's got to be very frustrating. You go, how long does this take? And I'm working with a community group now on a government grant, and it's just mind-bogglingly slow and unnecessarily complicated.
I don't have the patience for that.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm one of those, not necessarily instant gratification. I have a little bit of a patience, but if I want to get something done, I want to do it right now.
All right, going back to our fact-checking, Dave, on the Golden Gate Bridge, also from yesterday, Pioneer Little League, I mentioned, and apparently it hasn't been in existence for over 5 years.
Oops.
So, sorry, Pioneer, that happened. They consolidate with Parish Little League. So, a little bit of fact-checking there. And also postage. I got corrected by one of our listeners.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Of course, yeah. I was just using it as an example. I was kind of like...
He was just tossing it out there.
It's not 50 cents, people. It's 10% more than that. It's 55 cents. We're still talking about couch change, though.
I'll still stick to
it's ashtray if you're in the car, or couch change if you're at home. God, I got to send this letter. You just reach in the couch cushions. You find it on the floor, your closet.
55 cents for a letter. That's pretty amazing.
55 cents. That one, if you missed yesterday's, that's in a segment we called Let's Keep It in Perspective.
Right.
Hey, a couple things while we have just a minute left. Public safety in Salem is huge. It's so important, and you really don't want to get behind that curve, because then it becomes a monumental task. It's one thing to stay on top of a wave of crime and kind of keep it down to a certain level, but if you get behind and you have to play catch-up, it's going to be monumental, folks. It's really crazy.
The mayor said they were, 9-10 officers short?
Yes, and that's not like, this is a wish list and blah, blah, blah. I mean, we do not have the number of police officers per thousand in the city of the state the size
that we need.
Have.
We should have.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and that's just like an average, much less. All right. And so much less what maybe we want to have in order to have a safe community. And it does intersect with some of those other roles with the code enforcement and patrols and parks and things like that.
Yeah.
It's all under that public safety umbrella. And it's back to the concept that's coming to the voters is, do you want to buy it? Don't get mad at the government. Like, you know, elected leaders like Mayor Chuck, for them to say, do you want to buy it, is what they should do.
Yeah.
Do you want to buy it? And you can say no, and then they do the best they can with the resources they have. But I take issue with people that are like, they're always asking for more money. And really the question is going to be, do you want this?
Do you want this?
It'll cost you some money.
And you'll need to pay for it.
Yep. All right, folks, we got to go. It's been a great show, a great couple of days on Newsmakers. I'll be back on Thursday, and we look forward to seeing you then. Enjoy
TV. All right. See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.